following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hey, good morning, you guys. How you doing? Good. Oh, that was very quiet. It sounds like people who are almost ready for lunch. Did you guys bring your lunch with you? Have you ever thought of that? You could do that. If we're outside, just bring your lunch and a little bag lunch. That'd be kind of fun, right? No. Okay. hey, let's pray, and then we're going to be in 1 John this morning. Well, it's still morning. God, you are a gracious God, merciful God. Lord, thank you for that. Thanks for bringing us to this place, in this parking lot, and online here this morning to hear from you, to hear your word. Lord, we want to be people of your word. And as we said a couple times the last couple of weeks, we don't want to be people who just hear your word, Lord, but we want to be people who are actively doing your word, the thing that you call us to do, to be the people you've called us to be. And I believe when that happens, there's a spiritual thing going on that's more than just head knowledge of taking in the word, which I think is important, but there's the active work of your spirit impressing upon us the necessity of being people who are doers of your word and not just hearers. So this morning I'd ask, Lord, in this place and online, Lord, that you would impress upon us the desire you have for us to be people who are living out your word, actively living out your word. And would you make us those people here at Refuge, that we wouldn't just be people who come and listen, but people who implement the things that you impress upon us. And Lord, again, I believe that's a you thing. Lord, you will do that inside of us. And so to do that this morning, Lord, we turn to you, we look to you, and we ask that of you, Lord, would you strengthen us for what you've called us to? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to be in 1 John, as I said, 1 John chapter 1. And let's kind of get caught up to speed on where we're at. We are in studying through the letters of John. We know that the letters of John were written by the same person who wrote the Gospel of John, and his name is John, right? Good job. All right. His name is John. And here's the other thing too, that it's important. We've titled the series, and if you're just coming, we're only one sermon in on the series. So you're coming at a good time. This will be sermon number 2 on the series of 1 John. We've titled the whole entire series, That You May Know. That You May Know. Now, here's the thing. The reason why we called it that is John oftentimes is saying, I'm writing these things that you may know. In order for you to know who Jesus truly is, that's why he's writing these things. And that not only would you know who he is, but you would follow him and walk with him. John's saying that. In fact, last week, if you remember, we said, John said that I was there at the beginning. I was there at the start of Jesus' ministry. I remember he called me as a young man, John would have said. And in fact, I got to see him do great and marvelous things, miracles that you wouldn't even believe. Have the blind receive their sight, cast out demons, feed the 5,000. John would have said, I was there at the beginning. I got to see all this stuff. Because remember last week we talked about John's writing to a group of people who've had their faith tested. And maybe even some who are starting to walk away and believe a different sort of gospel. And John's saying, no, come back. Come back and you can believe what I'm writing to you because I was there at the beginning. At the end of the day, here's what John's hope is. That you wouldn't just read the things that I'm telling you about Jesus and know them, know facts about Jesus. But instead, that you would be all in for Jesus, that you would trust him, and that actually by knowing him and trusting him, your life would be changed. That you wouldn't just know a bunch of facts. Like, you could know a bunch of facts about me, right? Wearing blue jeans this morning, wearing a grayish type shirt, brown hair, but you don't necessarily know me just because you know what I'm wearing, right? You know facts about me, but you don't know me. And John's saying, listen, I want to move you from just knowing about Jesus into trusting Jesus so that your life will reflect that and your life will change. And so he writes 1 John chapter 1. Take a look at this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, here's what he says. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, that's God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. John comes right in after him and he says, listen, the God that you know and the God that you follow, he is light and in him is no darkness. In fact, oftentimes in the Old Testament, when God appears, he's light. There's light in the idea of God becoming present with the people. In fact, as the people are walking through the desert, somebody's got to help me on this. They're walking through the desert. God leads them at night by what? A pillar of fire, right? There's light involved with that. When Moses goes up, I think it's Exodus 34, goes up on the mountain. You remember this? Moses goes up on the mountain receiving the law. He comes back down and the people freak out. Do you remember why? Because his face was glowing like light because he had been in the presence of God, because God, he says here, God is light and in him there is no darkness. His face was shining so much so that the people are like, you got to cover that thing, right? Cover your face. And every time, in fact, Moses would go back up to spend time with the Lord, he would go up, take his veil off, face would shine, come back down, put the veil on, face would shine. The idea here is this, that God is light. He is holy and righteous. There is no evil in him. There is no sin in him. He is perfect. In fact, here's a cool little thing. When Jesus comes onto the scene, even as a little baby, there's a guy named Simeon. And I don't know if you know that, but around Christmas time, you'll probably hear about Simeon, right? And he was a guy that God had said to him, listen, you're not going to die before the Messiah comes, before the Christ comes. You won't die. And there's this day where Jesus is in the temple and Simeon gets to meet Jesus. And in fact, Simeon says this about Jesus. He is the light of revelation. Simeon got to be chosen by the Lord to stay until the Messiah comes. And upon meeting him, he says he is the light of revelation. John then goes on to say this about Jesus. He's the light that shines in the darkness. John will then say this about Jesus. He's the true light that gives light to every man. And it was coming into the world. Jesus says this about himself. I am the what? Somebody help me. I am the light of the world. See, what is true about God as light and holy and righteous, there is no sin in him, is true of the Son as well. Jesus, the Son, he comes and he's given this title of light because here's why. He is righteous and holy and set apart, and there is no sin in him. Now, here's the thing. John's saying, listen, the God that you are serving, that you are walking with, he is a God of light. And in him, there is no darkness. Now, here's the true thing about light. And when you come into the presence of God, light is revealing. This morning, on my way here, I got up early. It was foggy. As soon as I left my driveway, I could not see anything in front of my car. Right, it was so foggy. And actually, I'm surprised too, because Beach Boulevard usually clears of fog, but it was still foggy on beach. I needed my light to reveal what was in front of me in the fog. I needed my lights this morning. The same is true of God. God reveals to us by his holiness and his righteousness what is in front of us. He identifies, in fact, oftentimes, that we are sinners fallen short of his glory. And his light, like my lights in my car, reveals where we're at spiritually. That when we come into his presence, there's a revealing nature about God that says, listen, especially at times when you're first coming to the Lord, he's saying to you, that's not right, Jeff, right? That thing that's in you is not right. His light is revealing to us that we are all sinners fallen short of the glory of God. John takes issue on this challenge. He says, do you live in God's light? D-
Do you live in God's light where he is continually exposing this thing called sin in our lives? Is God's light reflecting upon you, and are you receiving that, saying, listen, that, you're right, Lord, is sin. That in my life is not right. In fact, look what he says here again in verse 6. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Are you walking in the light? And when he is revealing things to you and I, are we receiving those things and identifying sin as sin? Or are we deceiving ourselves? Are we lying? The idea here of walking is like, are we progressing? Are we walking in the truth? Are we growing in the light? Are we growing in the truth? Or have we stayed in the darkness to some degree? Resigned ourselves that this is just who I am. One of the things that when you came to the Lord, one of the first things that you should have heard, and probably you did, I don't know if you remember, is this idea is that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? We all have a sin problem. And one of those first things in coming to the Lord prayerfully for you was that when you heard those words, you thought, oh, what do I do? My sin, as I come into the light, is exposed. And somebody should have told you that Jesus paid for those sins. And that you're supposed to turn away from those sins and not walk in the darkness any longer. That's one of the blessings and the great parts of the gospel, that your life is changed and now you walk in the light and you no longer walk in the darkness. We don't hold on to the things of the darkness anymore because of the gospel, because of what we believe about Jesus. Now think about this for a second. God is the God of light. His Son comes and bears light into the entire world. He calls you and I to walk with him. And here's what happens to you and I. We can become bearers of light. We become light bearers. You and I, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, become light bearers. People no longer walking in darkness, but bearing the light of God, who is the God of light, and in him is no darkness. Saved by the Son of Light, and now you and I are light bearers. In fact, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says this, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. In the Lord. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Paul goes on. Listen to what he says here. He writes, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. In other words, no longer walk with darkness because you are new in God. You're a new creation. You are now a light bearer. And a light bearer doesn't keep diminishing the light that he's been called or she's been called to show people, to demonstrate to people who God is as a God of light. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand they elevate it. And if it gives light to all who are in the house, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. Listen, you and I, we've been called to do something pretty amazing. To be light bearers. To no longer walk as we used to walk. To no longer walk as the world walks, but to walk as people of light who represent the God of light who is saved by Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. So John takes up issue with them and he says, if we say that we are fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And he says, do not practice the truth. You're not putting into practice the thing that you were called to do, the person that you were called to be. And yet you say that you have fellowship with God. John's saying, be careful of that. Here's what I think. There's two people that he's talking about here. I think one of the persons that he would be talking about is someone who is not saved, but believes they are. I think one of the people he could be talking about here says, yeah, I'm good. I went forward at the crusade. I went forward at Refuge one morning. But nothing changed in my life. That person would say, yeah, I did that. I said that. I was there. I did this. But nothing's changed in my life. And I would say, John may be talking about this person who says, yeah, I'm saved. But never grew in the Lord. Never walked with the Lord. Never turned away from sin. They just said, listen, I said the words, it was good, whatever. And John's saying, listen, that's a dangerous place to be. I think the other person he could be talking about here, second person, would be someone who's saved and yet are destroying their relationship with the living God on a regular basis. What do you mean by that? I mean, someone who said at one point, genuinely said, I love the Lord, I walked with the Lord, I spent some time with him, but I still hold on to these things in the darkness. There's still some things I gravitate to, I hold on to. And he said that person, I think he's saying that person's saved, but they don't have fellowship with the living God because they're perpetually walking in darkness. And it's destroying, decimating their relationship with God. That I think John is saying, listen, we're lying to ourselves. If we think that we have fellowship with God and yet we can continue to walk in sin. Now, again, all of us have sinned, some of us regularly, right? And yet, I think what John is saying here is that there's a sin that continues to perpetuate in your life, that continues to dwell in your life, and you keep going back to that sin. And John's saying, that's dangerous, that you think that you can walk in darkness and in light. He says, they do not practice the truth. But then he says, listen, there's another person that I want to talk about here. There's another person. This is a person who walks in the light, that is continually and perpetually growing and walking in the light. And for that person, there are some benefits. For the person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus, begins walking in him and walks away from darkness, there's three things he says that I believe he says that are going to be benefits for this person. Three results that will be awesome, amazing, incredible. Listen to what he says here in verse 7. But if we don't walk in the darkness, so we don't lie to ourselves, right? But if we walk in the light, as he, God, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, the idea there, I believe, number one, what's the first result? I think he already talked about it. The first thing he said as he comes and starts off his passage, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. I think the reverse is true as well. If we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in light, we do have fellowship with God. So result number one of walking in the light is that you will have a fellowship or a likeness or a relationship with the living God. The first result of you and I saying, listen, I'm going to walk this life out in the light and I'm going to resist darkness is a healthy fellowship with the living God. How amazing is that? That there is a God who loves us, who sent his son to die on a cross for us, to pay for our sins, that we could walk in fellowship with him. Not just at some later date down the line when we die, right? But today, right now, today is the day of salvation. You could say, listen, I want to walk with you forever. And that should motivate each and every one of us to always walk in the light. That I don't even need numbers 2 and 3 benefits. Just give me number 1 benefit, which is I can have a relationship with the living God. Whew. Yes, I want that. And then John would say, well, then walk in the light as he is in the light. And in him, there is no darkness. Walk in the light and you will have that fellowship with the living God, which, by the way, comes with it peace, joy, patience, self-control. Such are the things that come with the living God and eternity, by the way. We don't even need to go on from there. I don't need to know two and three. I just want to live in right relationship with God. And he says, yes, absolutely. Trust in Jesus. Walk in the light. But he does. He gives us a second one too. Look what he says here in verse 7. If we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's an interesting thought. It's a huge priority for John. That he says one of the benefits of walking in the light, yes, is that vertical relationship with God, but you also can have a horizontal, healthy fellowship with one another. That idea, remember we talked about last week of fellowship, was being like-minded or having this in common. And remember who we had in common with each other? Do you remember that? Who do we have in common with each other? Oh, boy. Sunday school answer, it's 98% right when you say it. Who is it? Jesus, right? We have Jesus in common with each other. And that should change all the rules of the relationship. Because in a human relationship, when we get angry with each other and we fight with each other, when we get bitter with each other, we break apart. And Jesus comes into this type of fellowship, which, man, we need in the church on a regular basis. And he says, actually, you humble yourself. Actually, you submit to one another. Actually, you forgive each other and give grace to each other. And there's something powerful about that fellowship, koinonia, what we're talking about here. When someone is walking in the light, they see relationships differently than when they're walking in darkness. When they're walking vertically healthy with the Lord in fellowship, then all of a sudden their relationship with a brother and sister in the Lord is something altogether different than any other sort of relationship. Because now I understand grace and mercy and forgiveness, and God calls me to honor you above myself. Man, think about that. If each and every person here, if you just looked around, you don't have to look around, but if you did look around, and the people watching online, if we all got that concept and we brought it when we got together as the church, or you got together in your home as believers, and you treated each other with koinonia fellowship because you all prioritize Jesus as number one, imagine the power of the church. Imagine what other people, as they look around and they see this gathering of people and they got to experience what it was like to be in your home or to work with you. Or they walked into this fellowship of refuge and they thought, wow, there's something different about those people. That's what he's saying. Listen, walk in the light. It will have a direct effect on your koinonia, your fellowship with other people. In fact, God calls the church the bride of Christ. He thinks you are pretty important. He thinks this is pretty important, what we're doing here. Galatians 5:22, I think this is what we would see in increasing measure. Galatians 5:22 is the fruits of the Spirit. Here's what we should be increasing in as individuals and, because we're Spirit-filled, and the church. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, think about it, joy, peace, long-suffering or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and the last one, the hardest one, self-control, right? Those are things when people come in and people indwelt by the Holy Spirit who are in fellowship with each other, walking in the light, there should be an increasing measure of these things of the Spirit here in this place and in your home and with us. So first result of walking in the light, I believe he's saying, is fellowship with the living God. Do I need anything else, right? No, I need the fellowship with the living God. That's incredible. But there's a second benefit. It's healthy fellowship, healthy relationships with brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that will result in a healthy church, right? Spirit-filled people walking in the light will motivate us to say, listen, this is a healthy church. And I'll just say this, before I move on, when you walk in the light and then you bring that into the fellowship of God, that church will be healthier. The opposite is also true. If we have a bunch of people walking in darkness and then trying to come together and say, yeah, I love the Lord, yeah, the Lord, that will affect the church as well. So what I would encourage you to think of is it's not just me that I affect. living in darkness, walking in darkness, hiding things in darkness, is actually I affect my family, koinonia. I affect my church, koinonia. And instead of it being powerful and mighty, I diminish the power of that in my church, in my family. I have motivation to weed out darkness and not walk in darkness any longer, and instead choose today to say, I'm going to walk in the light. The third result of walking in the light. Look what he says here. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from how much sin? All sin. Take that in for a second. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The idea of cleanses there is present tense. It's not future tense. It's not like, oh, I got to wait till I die and then I'm standing in front of the Lord and he's going to then forgive me of all my sins. No, it's present tense. It's today, right? The fact that you could today say, Lord, I'm looking at this. I'm hearing this. And I feel like, Lord, maybe there is sin in my life. And what I'm believing to be true about you and what your text says, what your word says, is that you will cleanse me from all sin. That I don't want to walk in darkness anymore, and I don't have to walk in darkness anymore. You will cleanse me from all sin. You know, a couple years ago, I stopped doing this, but for 8 years straight, we did this thing called the Turkey Bowl in the park across the street from my house. How many of you guys ever played in a Turkey Bowl before? Nope. Not this service. Oh, a couple. All right, good. Right? It's basically, for us, was a football game. We did it 8 years straight. It was awesome. Hurt my shoulder. So I'm like, I can't play anymore. So no one can play anymore either. Right? I'm the one who organizes it. You don't get to play. No, I didn't do that. But we stopped playing. But I remember one thing. Whatever I wore out to the Turkey Bowl, and usually it was muddy and wet. It was right before Thanksgiving. And whatever shirt I wore out there, it was a goner, right? It would either get torn, but more than likely what was going to happen is there was going to be dirt on it, right? And it would just be embedded into the shirt. And there was no way, even though I tried, there was no way to get that dirt out of that shirt. It was there forever, to the point of like, let's just throw it away, right? It's no good anymore. Maybe save it for the next Turkey Bowl. What Jesus is saying here, what John is writing here, is that there is no dirt that Jesus can't get out of the shirt, right? There's no dirt that on you that Jesus can't remove from you. That no matter what you brought to the table today to the Lord and said, but, you know, there's that one thing I did in my life. Jesus would say, I got that. I can cover that. Yeah, but you don't know, Jesus, the depth of my darkness. It is so dark. You wouldn't even, Jesus, you don't even know. And he would say, yeah, actually, I do know. I do know. And I can cover that. There's no sin that's so entrenched, embedded, crusted on to your life that Jesus is saying, John's writing and saying, I can't cover that. He's saying, I can cover all those sins. I can cleanse you from all those sins. You just don't keep walking them anymore. Don't let them hang over your head anymore. I'll take that. In fact, I already have taken that. He is the stain remover of sin in our life. Then he jumps back here. He goes back to those people who are in some sort of deception in their life, thinking I'm having fellowship with God and yet I'm walking in darkness. I love the Lord, but I'm loving my sin even more. Right? He goes back to those people. Look what he says here in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Jump to verse 10 real quick. Here's what else he says. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him, God, a liar, and his word is not in us. Who's he talking to? I think he's back talking to people again who are convinced that they're good, I'm good, we're good, I don't have any sin, right? I have not sinned, someone would say. I'm good, we're good. And John's saying, listen, no, if you're saying that you don't have sin or you have not sinned, then listen, you deceive yourself. And in fact, he says you, and never want to be in this position, you make God a liar. Because God is holy and righteous, and he's coming and he's exposing sin. And you and I may be saying, well, I don't see that sin. I mean, that's your opinion, Lord, right? the holy and righteous God, the one that came and Moses went up and visited, and his face shined for just being in his presence. And that light that's exposing is exposing sin. And we may be saying, but I don't really see it. I mean, 50-50, maybe not. I don't know. God, I'm not sure. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But God, I thought we worked that deal out. God, this has been part of my family for a really long time. You know I can't get rid of that. You know this has been on my heart. I've been wrestling this forever. God, I thought we had an understanding, right? He's saying, no, listen, sin is sin. The problem here, I would suggest to you, is self-deception. And we all have a little of this in our lives. Self-deception. It's the idea that you can go to the movie and eat the whole thing of popcorn and tell yourself this won't hurt later on. It's always gonna hurt, right? Or I won't gain any weight if I eat all this popcorn. It's like, no, you're going to. That's self-deception. But you can do it anyways because you can deceive yourself and think it'll be okay, right? It's the same thing as like, hey, I'm going to stay up super late tonight, but I'll be fine in the morning, right? Oh, just a little bit more time watching this movie or hanging out with these people or playing this game, right? I'll be fine in the morning, right? Morning Jeff hates nighttime Jeff, right? It's never good. It's like, what did you do to me? Why are you so tired? Well, I mean, it's self-deception. It's thinking I'll be fine when in reality we know we won't be fine. It's the same thing as when you were growing up and people were like, be careful who you hang out with, right? And you always kind of thought, well, it doesn't matter. They're just like people like us. I'll never go down that path. And it's like, well, actually, that's called self-deception. And we all struggle with it in different ways. And what he's saying is there are people who are saying, I'm fine. It's no big deal. God and I have an understanding, right, Lord? I'm good. I walk in the light most of the time. And he said, that's self-deception. They deceive themselves. And he says, you make God a liar. You see, sin is a serious issue with God. Because, and I'll say it one more time, probably 100 times, but he says this, he's the God of light and in him is no darkness. Sin is a serious, serious issue with the living God. And God is coming and saying, Jeff, I want to expose those sins in your life. I don't want you to hide them away. I want you to bring them out into the light. I want them to be exposed. One of the problems, I think, with diminishing sin is we diminish Christ. Let me say that in this way. If somebody prepared a gift for you and thought, oh, this will be super special for them. I think they're going to love it. It's going to be awesome. And you, they did all this work and they brought it to you and you're like, no thanks. I don't think I need that. I'm good, right? Take it away, right? It's the same thing is true with our relationship with Christ. Jesus dies on the cross, again, for God so loved the world that he loved the world that he sent his only son that whoever should believe him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God said, I prepared this gift for you. And then we say, it's okay. I'm good, right? My sins aren't that big of a deal, right? It's not that big of a deal. I don't really need it. I'm good. And he's saying, no, you don't understand, Jeff, right? I'm walking into your life. You're a child. You're a light bearer. And you're into my presence. And I'm telling you, that's a sin. Yeah, but you know, it's been so long and it's passed down through generation and generation. And no, you don't understand. I'm a holy God. And I'm setting you apart to be righteous and holy. And I'm exposing the sin that you will take care of it. Because I think one of the things we like to say is, well, Jesus' blood is like the blanket that covers over all our sin. And that's absolutely true. It's a blanket that covers over all of our sin. But it's not a blanket to hide away our sin. Right? He doesn't die so that you can say, oh, well, that Jesus' blood covered that. I can keep living in it. Jesus' blood covered it. No, that's wrong thinking. We should say, wow, because Jesus died on the cross to cover over that sin, I need to stop the sin. It wasn't an excuse to keep going in that direction. It was a way to say, listen, I want to cover that so that you will walk now in the light and in holiness. You will receive the benefits of being a vertical relationship with the living God. You will have horizontally powerful relationships, horizontal with church people and the people who know and love God. And you will recognize that Jesus came to cleanse all unrighteousness. This was never to be an excuse to say, well, I'll just keep on in my sins and somehow justify continuing on in it. And one more thing on that. It's a continual cleansing. There was a moment where you came to the Lord prayerfully, and maybe that's you today, and you're identifying the fact that, yeah, maybe I am a sinner and I do need something to take care of that sin. And Jesus is the one to do it. But listen to what he says. Once you come to the Lord, there's this other moment where we have a continual cleansing that's needed, where we continue to come to the Lord. Yes, absolutely. Our sins are paid for once and forever when we come to Jesus. But there's a desire of coming to him, bringing that sin before him and asking for forgiveness and seeking him on it, that we don't just all of a sudden become perfect, because we'll never reach that. Sin is like this disgusting mold that will grow and grow and grow in darkness. And until it's exposed and brought out into the light, it will continue to fester. Some of you guys have pumpkins at home right now, right? Who know exactly what I'm talking about. That mold on the inside that just is rampant all over. And how many of you guys have the pumpkin that's like already self-imploding on itself because the mold has pretty much eaten it from the inside out? That's exactly what sin does. It eats from the inside out. It spreads quickly and it loves darkness. Keep me in the darkness. Until eventually one day it exposes itself. It exposes you. And it is terrible. And God would say, listen, bring that sin out into the light. Confess it. Come to me. Bring it to me. You're not hiding anything anyways from me. And I love verse 9. And here's where we'll end our time. Verse 9. Look at what the solution of the God of light, who in him there is no darkness. Look what his solution to our sin problem is. Listen, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is that good news? That he just didn't leave us at, well, I'm a holy God and we are sinful people. So I don't know, deal with it, right? Figure it out. Work harder. Sin less. I don't know. I don't know what you're going to do. He didn't do that. He says, actually, here's what I want you to do. When the sin is exposed, I want you to confess it. I want you to bring it out into the light. I don't want you to continually hide it away. I want you to expose it, bring it out. But it's disgusting and gross and it's unbecoming of me, Lord. I know it's sin, right? But here's the thing, Jeff, you could keep holding on to it and it's ruining your relationship with me and it's ruining your relationship with the people in your life and it's ruining your relationship in the church. You're not as effective as you could be for sure. So how about this? How about you do what I ask? You confess it. And you keep confessing it. You keep bringing it out into the light when it rears its ugly head. Listen, this is so important. He says this, that confession, when you confess, here's where it falls. Here's who's listening. Listen to what he says. When you confess, if we confess our sins, our God, the God of light, in him there is no darkness. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there could be a fear of, what if I do confess it? I'm saying, listen, God is saying, bring it to me, confess it. Jeff, it's not hidden anyways. And you and I need to have that exchange, that confession exchange. And by the way, that confession doesn't have to happen at church. It doesn't have to happen with a pastor, right? We have a great high priest in Jesus who intercedes for us. You can do this anywhere at any time because you have a relationship with the living God, right? But listen, here's the thing. I want you to do it. I want you to confess those things God would say to me. The other day, I got mad at Jack because I'm a terrible father. No, I did. I got mad at Jack, and it was over something small, and I shouldn't have gotten mad at him about it. And I went to him later on, and I confessed to him, and I said, Jack, will you forgive me? And he said, yeah, I'll forgive you. And the cool thing about Jack is like, he's the one that models that. He'll do something that's, you know, what a, I guess a 10-year-old does. And he'll come to me and say, Dad, will you forgive me? And I say, yeah, I'll forgive you. Now, listen, we could say nothing to each other and just be like, hey, deal with it, dude, right? You can handle it. Dad got mad. You're fine, right? But really what I want is to restore that relationship with him. And so I don't just assume he's going to forgive me. I go and I confess and I say, bud, listen, I think I stepped over the line. It was over a small thing. I shouldn't have got mad at you. Will you forgive me? I bring that out into the light. So he and I now both know, hey, Dad messed up, right? Sometimes he messes up. And we ask for forgiveness. We bring it into the light. And then we give each other the opportunity to say, I forgive you. I forgive you. And I think the same thing is true here. We go to the Lord and we say, listen, God, I've got these things over here that sin is darkness, and I've been walking in it, and I want to bring it out into the light. Now, I assume, Lord, you care about that, and I assume maybe one day you'll forgive me for those things, but we just don't talk about it. I keep it in darkness. Instead, God's saying, listen, I want you to bring it out of darkness as often as it rears its head. I want you to confess it, Jeff, because I want you to know it's wrong. I don't want you to keep saying, oh, it's, you know, excuse, excuse, excuse. I want you to confess it, so that you and I both know what's wrong. And then Jeff, here's what it is. I am faithful and just to forgive you. I am faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You mean, God, when I take that stuff out of the darkness and I start walking in the light and distancing myself from that darkness, repenting of that darkness, confessing that darkness, you still love me? And you forgive me, and you take that deep, dark stain that's just so hard to get out, you eradicate it from me. You don't hold it to my account any longer. You mean there'll be times when I still hold on to it, but God, you've already forgotten it? Yep, that's true. That I've already forgiven you. Jeff, I'm already moving on past this moment as you repent and you confess and you turn and you start walking in the light. That sin is as good as dead to me. That's the living God. That's the God of light. In him there is no darkness. And I wanted to say that is the love he has for his people, the love he has for you. That's incredible, because he doesn't have to do that. If you were the God of light, wouldn't you be like, come on, stop walking in darkness. Really? Like, come on. I don't know if I have any more chances for you, Jeff, right? I don't know if I've got more. But no, he says, listen, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. That's our God. And listen, that's the God that we love and that we worship and that we got called to by the gospel. And I would just encourage you this morning, if you are one of those people who've said, I don't have sin. I don't know. No, I'm good. But you're hearing for the first time and you're receiving, maybe the power of the Spirit is at work in you. And you'd say, well, what do I do with that feeling? It says it right here. Confess it. Turn from it. Repent from it. And he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's your pathway this morning. And then begin to grow in that and understand, oh, that's walking in the light. I was praying this weekend that as people would walk more into the light and away from that darkness, there would be some just tangible, physical or emotional, I don't care, whatever, just tangible experiencing God. That when you decide, listen, I'm going to follow Christ in this situation, I'm going to walk away from darkness, that you would begin to experience something altogether different in your life. That the weightiness of sin that's held you back, maybe held you out of vertical or horizontal relationship with God and with people, you would notice something different. So that was my prayer, and I'm praying that now, and we're going to do that right here in a second. That you, as you begin to say, listen, I'm a light bearer. Right? I represent my God, and he's a God of light. I'm a light bearer, so what I do matters. It has an impact on my family and the people around me and my church. God, would you just strengthen the light that is within me? God, would you strengthen me this week for that? Let's pray. God, I pray, Lord, this week, Lord, as you have called us to be light bearers, you are the God of light, of holiness and righteousness, in whom there is no sin, in him there is no darkness. And yet, you still call us to join that family, to join your family, to walk in your presence. And because of that, Lord, you sent your son to die on a cross that we could eradicate sin, the consequences and all the power that sin has. Lord, we can fight that in the name of Jesus. And we could be people who walk away from light, walk away from darkness, and walk into light. Lord, I pray that we'd be those people. And then I do pray, Lord, as I just said, I pray for tangible results, things that we just see, we experience, Lord, victory over certain sins, change of relationship, maybe in marriages. Lord, as we put this into practice, not just being hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Strengthen us, Lord, strengthen us. Lord, we know we have the power of the Spirit for those that believe in us. Lord, I pray this week we would be people of light, people who walk in the light as you are in the light. Amen. Have a great week. Be people who walk in the light. Amen? Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.